Welcome to the Automation World Get Your Questions Answered podcast, where we connect with industry experts to get the answers you need about industrial automation technologies. I'm David Greenfield, Editor-in-Chief at Automation World, and the question we'll be answering in this episode is, do collaborative robots need safety risk assessments? And joining me to answer this question is Devin Murray with Schmerzel USA, a supplier of safety switchgear, devices, and systems for personnel and machine protection. Devin works in Schmerzel's Technical Engineering Services division called Technicum, which focuses on machine safety, such as risk assessments, validations, and training. So thanks for joining me today, Devin.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, you know, Devin, let's make sure everyone understands, you know, what we're talking about here today. And so let's start, you know, what defines a collaborative robot, which are often referred to as cobots, and how are they different from regular industrial robots?
Sure. So a collaborative robot, as you mentioned, commonly called a cobot, is a robot which is essentially designed and introduced to the industry to work directly with the human operator in a safe manner. Technically speaking, it's a robot designed to work in a collaborative operation, which is defined as a state in which purposely designed robot systems and an operator work concurrently in a space during production operations. Basically, characteristics of a collaborative robot include smooth round edges to minimize pinch points, slow speeds, and low capabilities, which differs from the typical industrial robot.
So what about safety standards? Because, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, we all know about the safety standards, you know, with our standard industrial robots, and they often have to be caged and, you know, light curtains around them and all that. What about safety standards related to cobot? Are there any of those that have been implemented yet?
Yeah, so typically, I think with, you know, the industrial settings, there were vast advancements, in this case, with the collaborative robot technology, followed by safety regulations to help ensure a safe working environment. The first documented cobot was introduced in the mid to late 90s, and some of the well-known industrial robot manufacturers that we know today released their versions of collaborative robots in the early 2000s. In 2012, the standard which defines safety requirements for industrial robots, which is ISO 10218, which is harmonized to our North American standard ANSI/RIA 1506, referenced collaborative robots. And then in 2016, the technical standard ISO TS 15066 was released to provide further guidance on safety implementation of collaborative applications. So yes, there are definitely standards and regulations in place today.
Okay, so it's not a gray area anymore like it was a while back, where I can remember some discussions of that. It's like, yeah, it's safe, you can do this. Mm-hmm. It's got all these protective mechanisms on it, but OSHA might see it differently. So
now there's things in place now for sure. Yeah. Yep.
So since cobots are, you know, designed to be safe for humans to work alongside, I mean, that's their whole purpose and intent of these types of robots. Mm-hmm. Are risk assessments of a cobot installation needed before work begins?
Yeah, so referring back to ISO TS 15066, which I just mentioned, it clearly calls out in black and white that a risk assessment is necessary to identify the hazards and risk associated with a collaborative robot system application. You'll read that the integrator shall conduct a risk assessment as described by, you know, ISO 10218 and ANSI/RIA 1506. So yes, a risk assessment is absolutely needed for a collaborative robot application.
It has the word shall there.
Shall means
will, should,
must. And all yeah, of the you above. Must do yeah. it. All the above.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, based on your experience, you know, what are some hazards that are common or often overlooked when it comes to users implementing cobot applications?
Yeah, the risk assessment I just mentioned is commonly overlooked for sure. I would say typical application hazards, impact, crushing, trapping, projectiles. And I say these typical hazards because they are often overlooked once the term collaborative robot is used. I mentioned earlier about smooth edges, minimizing the pinch points, slow speeds, and low payload capabilities. And sometimes that's taken as this is a safe piece of equipment and all is good. So those typical common hazards are missed, but this is why a risk assessment is required. So we got to look at the loads, the materials, the robot torque. One of the biggest overlooked hazards I've probably seen is the actual cobot location. So you have to look at, are you creating a crushing or a trapping hazard with the cobot in a fixed surface? Or is that cobot positioned high enough where it can come into contact with an operator head, which is not allowed at all? I would say the risk assessment, those basic ISO 12100 hazards, and the position of the cobot are commonly overlooked.
Okay. And you mentioned too, there just a side question off of this, is you mentioned that the risk assessments are often overlooked with cobots. Is that something that's particular to cobots based on what you've seen, or is this something that's often kind of overlooked for other industrial machinery as well?
Yeah, so I would say it's often overlooked, but more so with the cobot, just because of that misconception that, it's inherently safe, so we're good to go. So risk assessments, in my experience, are typically overlooked, but I'm seeing it more so with cobots nowadays.
Okay. So are there any options that you recommend to help ensure safe cobot operations alongside humans?
ISO TS15066 defines four methods of collaborative operations, which would be safety-rated monitor stop, hand guiding, speed and separation monitoring, and pressure and force limiting. And if we look at each one of those individually, safety-rated monitor stop is when you have the collaborative robot motion stopped while the operator is within that collaborative workspace. With hand guiding, we see more of a collaborative operation. The motion of the collaborative robot is controlled completely by the operator. And this could be during a point-based teaching where the operator is showing or programming the robot for a defined motion or path. And this can also be seen with applications such as with a lift assist, where an operator is guiding a robot arm while moving a payload. For speed and separation monitoring, as the human approaches the cobot will decrease its speed to a slower, safe pace. And once the operator enters that defined protective distance, the cobot will enter into what's called a protective stop. For pressure and force limiting, we see that collaboration where the operator is working, shoulder to shoulder with the cobot. You have identified that there will be contact with the cobot and operator either by accident or on purpose. And as such, the cobot pressure and force must be limited so that it will not exceed the allowable thresholds as defined by the standard. ISO TS15066 looks at different regions of the human body and lists the maximum pressures and forces allowed, which can be experienced by the operator and which cannot be exceeded by the cobot. Now, my explanations of these methods are simplified to say the least, but the standards say you have to select one or more of these methods depending on your application to help ensure a safe operation with the cobots and humans.
Yeah. Obviously, your answers were, basic and, structured down and stuff, but because each of these could be books on their own, of course.
Exactly.
So, yeah. You know, speaking of that, let me ask you about a side question about one of those you mentioned, the speed and separation monitoring. I've been seeing quite a bit about that over the past few years now in terms of, because that's being applied to industrial robots to allow them to operate collaboratively. Again, from your, based on your experience, you know, as a, you know, a risk assessment, machine safety, you know, expert in this, do those seem to be as effective in enabling industrial robots to work collaboratively as your standard collaborative robots that are designed as such from the get-go to operate alongside humans?
That's very dependent on the application, right? So going back to, you know, one of the first things we spoke about was the design of the collaborative robot where, you know, again, we have those smooth edges and the slow speeds and the low payloads, where the industrial robot was designed and put into production to handle those tasks which are, you know, not really acceptable for the human or not for human not to be able to do. So when we look at those typical applications, they are inherently dangerous to the human, to the operator. So you would, that's one of the reasons why you would typically see, you know, those industrial robots fully encaged with the fencing. Now, again, it completely depends on the application, right? Because you can have an industrial robot that's doing a task that is of a, you know, slower speed perhaps, or using or moving a payload that's not dangerous, where you can incorporate, you know, a laser scanner, like you mentioned, to do a speed and separation monitoring. So you can definitely apply, you know, some of these collaborative robot methods to industrial robots, but it completely depends on the application. So more than likely, when you start looking into, you know, like speed and separation monitoring, it's going to fall back into, you know, the collaborative robot realm.
Okay. Well, you know, it makes sense, and it's, I guess it's not too surprising, you know, after all these years covering automation, it's one of the things I find out when I ask questions like, well, can this do that or this do that or will this work here? It's like the answer almost 90% of the time is it depends.
Right,
you know,
right.
It really does depend on the application and where it's at. And yeah,
for sure,
there's lots of things to consider. So, Devin, is there anything about these cobot safety standards that we've been speaking about that are more difficult to implement than other machinery risk assessment procedures?
I mean, at the core of every Type C standard, such as, you know, the ISO 10218 or safety specification like the ISO TS 15066, lies the same method or approach. Right, it's identify the hazards, identify the risk, and then use this safety standard or document as a guidance to design safe measures. And that aspect, the cobot safety standards are just like any other. But what makes it unique and perhaps, you know, slightly more difficult is the fact that contact with the point of operation or with, you know, a moving machine, which is the cobot, can be expected and accepted, which is different than most other safety standards where, you know, the main goal is to guard against the point of operation. So being able to validate and document the justification for one of the four methods we just spoke about to say that, you know, you're going to allow the human and cobot to work concurrently together in the same workspace is probably the most challenging, especially if you're looking at something like pressure and force limiting, where there are no other protective safeguarding measures like a scanner or a light curtain. And so that can be difficult, but the implementation is definitely achievable.
So one last question, Devin. You know, considering everything we've spoken about here today, would you say that collaborative robots are safe to use?
I would say that if implemented correctly, collaborative robots can offer a safe means to many industrial applications. You just have to remember that even though collaborative robots were intended to be inherently safe, a collaborative operation is only as safe as you make it.
So again, it depends.
It depends.
Right?
It depends. For sure.
Thank you again for joining me for this podcast, Devin. And thanks, of course, to all of our listeners. And please keep watching this space for more installments of Automation World, Get Your Questions Answered. And remember, you can find us online at automationworld.com to stay on top of the latest industrial automation technology insights, trends, and news.